separate them. And the one's a three-year-old and the other one's four. So we backed Tifazar up to run a sprint to avoid running against the other one. That way we could try to figure out a way to come out with two opportunities to win. So we're hoping that the backup in distance helps us.
You know, the fourth race, which is the route race, and looking at this group with Subiaco for Southern Springs, this is a will-take-charge filly. It is notable that Larry Jones and Brary Jones send the full sister to Proud Spell.
Isn't that something? That's awful kind of them.
Proudly Pacific.
Yeah, and I'm sure that she's well-meant. We did a little thing out of the gates last time that I hadn't seen. My horse looked like it wanted to see the back of the gates right before they sprung open and to come out.
Trying she was trying to turn in the gates. You were trying to turn?
She jumped straight up in the air and did like some a little pirouette. Calisthenics. Yeah, and then still managed to run second. And you know, we think that if we get a good break, we'll be a part of it. But I was. On a speed-favoring track, we decided, you know what, we'll just give them 10 links and see what that happens, you know.
Holy cow. Orlando Mojica with an adventure on Subiaco.
I thought he was going to come off, but these guys are such athletes. They, you know, he acted like it wasn't a big deal when he got back. He was saying, oh, we almost won. I'm like, I'm glad you're okay. I'd have been off leading a horse, just walking to the paddock going, here, mister, here's your horse.
Unbelievable. Looking ahead to Saturday, too, you got two maidens. And you know, it's with this new schedule, Ron, you're going all the way to Derby Day. They've spread out the stakes. And as a result, it's really an old-fashioned kind of big day with just the Oaklawn Handicap, the Count Fleet, and the Arkansas Derby. The rest of the card is just really good allowance races and maiden races, and it's kind of a throwback.
Yeah, it's fun. It's harder to win these type of races on these type of days because they're not just all locals. Not that it's easy to run against the locals, but on these kind of days, they show up. This A, other than allowance, for three-year-olds, is one of the toughest A other than you'll see. And, you know, I was trying to figure out how they would handicap to, you know, the picks and that. You got a graded stakes placed horse, another one of Doug O'Neill's that come in and run an 88 buyer speed figure and win his first out. Steve Asmussen's horse by Candy Ride runs a 87 buyer speed figure, wins his first out. And none of those look like they're going to be the favorite.
Well, the favorite will be Hollendorfer with Row 8.
Yeah. So this is the kind of bear trap you can fall into wanting to win on in front of about 50,000 people.
Well, certainly, I've got my theory, my longstanding maxim: big days, big owners. And so with Alex Leavelong and Joanne, you know that there's the Leavelongs will make the winner's circle at least once on Saturday.
That's right. We try to, you know, we've got Mr. Sella running one. The Sella brothers running one on Saturday. We've got...
Which one?
His name... Here you go. We've got... let's see here. Who all do we have? We've got
Punish, Cabot, Breaking News.
Yeah, there's Harlow Stables. Breaking News is Sella's horse. Cabot is... Yeah. Cabot is... Yeah, we got Joe Ford... the Westrock brothers. We got everybody in town.
You got every big owner. So you should win. You should win five or six on Saturday.
Yeah, we better run well. That's all I know.
I was going to say, when did you pick up Ike from Baffert?
He left him here with us last time.
Okay.
And we trade a lot of horses.
Yeah, the Westrock
team. And Baffert, you know, Baffert told me, he said, well, I had him a little short, but he'll do well next time. We was real happy with how happy and healthy he was when he come to us, and we're ready for action.
Nice, and that'll be in the eighth. And boy, you got a little Luis Saez on four of these. Rosario on the other two. Rosario rides Breaking News in the seventh. That's the maiden.
You know, the thing is that everybody wonders about the rider situation. I have to bring in a rider or find a rider coming in because I use Santana a lot.
Yeah.
And you know Asmussen is going to have a horse for every race. So I'm always looking for a rider. on big days.
On the big day. Well, this group is pretty sassy too. It looks like the maiden, $100,000 for maidens, $101,000 for the allowance races. So it's basically stake money. This seventh race, Danny Pites has got a $700,000 Bodemeister for Shadwell.
Yeah, and there's Tom Proctor sent a horse into Randy Morse that's training very well in the same race. And I mean, these are real deal horses, and these are the kind of horses you think you have to run against whenever you're trying to win these kind of, you know, these kind of purses. So you know, it's going to be hard to win them, but you'll be rewarded handsomely if you do.
I'm going to put your I want you to put your handicapping before I let you go. Put your handicapping cap on, and who you like in the fantasy tomorrow?
Okay, I love the way that Tom Bamberg's horse is training, but the horse Drill that come in and run the other day, if you play Sheets, she run a 7. That's by far the best of anything that's in the field, and she run a very good race and very unlucky to run second that day to one of Asmussen's. That's a really nice horse. I think it was a perfect prep, and I don't know, you know, depends if the speed's holding all day, then you give extra credit to Motion in Motion. If it looks like you can make up a little ground, then maybe play Hollendorfer.
Well, the Van Berg is the 5-2 favorite, Motion in Motion, and Brill for Hollendorfer, 7-2, your second choice. Pletcher shows up. Pletcher's got one allowance runner, or one stake runner, or more here, and then the rest, he's got a couple of other horses dotting the action. Including in that very good race that you're also involved in, we should ask about Proverb. You tabbed Mike Smith tomorrow. Soldado shows up in here for Pletcher. Dallas has got Hidden Ruler in here, and Asmussen with Comedian. I mean, this might as well be a grade four stake.
Yeah, it's fun. I looked through there and I was like, well, this one looks tough. This one looks tough. I mean, they're all good horses. And then the other horse of Brad Cox's may be better than the rest of them. That one won on Rebel Day, the split version of what Proverb
won. Warrior's Charge, you mean?
Yeah.
The 10th strike.
And
you know that they're going to be over in the tent. They'll be tearing the tent down, that group, Marshall Graham and
large,
company.
Large group. And, you know, I promise you they picked this race out the same day we did. So it's going to be a fun day of handicapping.
Mile in the 16th, and you know, Hidden Ruler for Dallas chased Gray Attempt, Jinx's sprinter for all intents. Should he be running that? Would you run Gray Attempt on Saturday in the Derby, or would you have saved him for a sprint?
I am nowhere near somebody that ought to question Mr. Jinx.
All right.
I think right. that he knows what he's doing, and if he don't, then he deserves the right to choose. He's a man. But Hidden Ruler is a horse that I'm familiar with. We won a race here Sunday with a horse named Strong Yin, and it's out of the same mare.
Oh, really? Sip.
And this is a nice horse. Whenever he won his first race that day, he was touted all over the world. Every clocker in nine counties was calling saying, oh, this horse is good. And I was in the race, and we ran fourth in the race, and he was well meant. And then when they come back, they ran him a flat mile. It wasn't like he got beat by bad horses. He got beat by Captain Von Trapp, who run huge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then also they backed him up and ran him against Gray Attempt going short, which I believe is a buzzsaw. I eventually think Gray Attempt is going to be a really nice sprinter.
But for
having
now.
Said that, I ran Whitmore in the same race as Gray Attempt is running.
Yeah, you did.
I think you can always try to get the money while it's here. What are you going to do, run for $150,000?
You're right.
Take a shot at the million. So then now he's back in this race, and we'll find out whether or not if he's really wants to be a route horse or not, because he's a classy horse. He's a nice horse.
Ron Paolucci just reached out to me, and he says, don't worry about Mitol on the front end because Storm Advisory is going right after him with the blinkers on.
I noticed the blinkers on, and it got me a little happy. And I'm telling you this, Mitoli is quick. He's a very talented horse, but being in the one hole, you know he's got to send. he's going to have to send. And when it comes to making up ground, and those five horse fields are weird. It's funny how they yep. turn into jockey races.
Yep, absolutely.
So, and it may be one of them deals where nobody thinks everybody's going to do something, and everybody does the opposite.
Exactly. So exactly.
I'm just going to do what Whitmore does, and just hang back and let him have fun.
Well, what about the Oakland handicap? You've seen a lot of those, at fairgrounds and here.
Yeah, I think it's a good field. I think that Asmussen's going to have tenfold ready. It looked like he'd give him a great, race down there, and that horse come back to win that race to win here the other day in what should have been a stake race. It had C.R. Trout's good horse in it. It had several stakes winners in the race. That was, I believe it was Sunday. But it had an !1 again, and now his next out will be in a stake. So this is a really, I think you could have any number of winners in this race. I think nobody is straight in. I'm going to play John Expectations on top of Tenfold and stand there and hope that it works.
Yeah. All right. I love it. And, of course, the New York bred Giant Expectations. It seems wherever I go, he turns up and runs. What's our weather? What's your prediction? You're from the area.
I think there's going to be a possibility of rain all day Saturday. Having said that, this track can take a lot of moisture. So
it's like Churchill. Like Churchill.
So I believe that there's going to be rain, but I also know that the weathermen are like trainers. We're barely ever right. I think the tents are going to be fun property to have. The infield may be a little iffy.
Yeah, it's going to be a little sloppy. Don't tell the wives and girlfriends don't wear the expensive shoes. It's not going to be a day for you where your footwear is going to survive. Yeah,
there'll be some galoshes.
Yeah.
The one thing that I was going to say is that one thing that's a little weird is you got to remember the Count Fleet now is in the fourth race on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's, we usually don't even wake our horses up for the stakes races until about the sixth race. And now they're going to be running in the fourth. So that's going to be something odd for us. We start in the fourth and go fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, all the way up to ninth. And it's just odd to think that you're going to lead off with your stakes horse.
That's all right. That's, they spread it out. The day is, I haven't gone through for the multis yet, but the first thing that struck me when I looked at the overnight yesterday afternoon was how this was like an old fashioned big day. It wasn't, with the we used to have the Northern Spur, and we would have, we'd have a couple of other, non graded stakes, and there might even be an Archie bred stake, on the card. But instead, now because the meet's going to go another 3 weeks,
and now the Trail's End is pushed back
to the
until
end of the meet.
The end of the meet. I've actually had a buddy text me like, "What did you guys not do the Trail's End?" I'm like,
Trail's going further this year.
Trail goes all the way to May. So we'll do the Trail's End, Derby Day.
How many horses have you left here, and how many are at Churchill already?
Everything's the same as it has been for us. We will send off horses. We get the condition book and say, look, will these go? Will these not go? Well, there's a race for them early at Churchill. They go. And we've got our barn 20 is full at Keeneland. And we're running three there today. We'll be participating in Churchill just like we normally do, and we'll have some running here. We're going to, try to make sure that we meet our obligations at both spots and take advantage of the purses while we can. My owners like money, I'm told.
They're funny that way, those owners. And in fact, in addition to Treble, Mississippi, good old Mississippi, who started with Cassie, has been a personal favorite. He goes in an allowance early on the card today at Keeneland, and then a maiden claimer, Comrade. Who's got the best shot of those? Well, we know Treble is in a little deep.
Yeah.
So Mississippi or Comrade today?
I like Comrade. Got to beat that guy up there, Wesley Ward. Seems like he's pretty good with maidens, I'm hearing. So
2-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to beat him. And then in Mississippi's race, it's like a who's who. It's like good horses. We're third in the you know, this horse is third in the Florida Derby, and he doesn't look like he necessarily ought to be the favorite. So you're supposed to place him in a position to where you're the best of company or the worst of company, but I'm keeping pretty good company, it seems like.
Well, Jimmy Baker with Ghost Story in there. How about Sergeant Drive with Shug? Tabia for Ian Wilkes. It's a group of seven. That's a good group.
I think the horse to beat in there is the California horse, Palador. And then if Mississippi and Luis gets along like I think they did, I took his blinkers off. I thought that he ran better without blinkers. We've been training him well with blinkers. He's trained extremely well since his last race. I think that if he gets a good trip and he gets along with Luis, they'll be there.
That's the third race today, 2:12 Eastern at Keeneland. And Ron should be a terrific few days, and will include today's action, Oaklawn and Keeneland, and then right through the weekend.
We live for these big days.
Yeah.
We want to run on these big days. We want to win these big purses. My owners get excited for that. I tell everyone all the time, I'm not interested in being the leading trainer. I want to win the most money and win the races with the names beside them.
That's it.
And the way you do that is you have horses that have to run against good horses. So I know today's thing, everybody's always up on win percentages and numbers, and I guess that means something to somebody.
Nah.
But when you win the races on these kind of days, it's funny that the leading owners of and the leading trainers, you don't see those guys on these kind of days. Where are they at? Why are they not here? If they're running 200 horses a meet, how is it they seem to sidestep the big days? The reason why is because you can't claim one for 50 and run it for 10 on those days. You have to actually use some horses that are just like the other horses, and I get that. You know, I get it. This game is so great for that reason. It's an orchestra. Everybody's playing their own instrument, and somehow it sounds good together. And, you know, we're trying to develop horses and do the best we can with them and try to get every $50,000 horse to be a stakes horse, and some other people are trying to claim $50,000 horses to win for 12-5.
Well, and that, you know, that it's priorities. And sometimes those people that do that, they, after they've won a couple of training title or, you know, meet titles, owner titles, generally they've gravitated toward, they realize, you know, I want to get to the next level. I want to get stake horses. And you see that a lot.
Well, we get, you know, I love the term that the talking heads do on TV me being a fan of the horse. I think all credit should go to the horse whenever they do stuff. I mean, there's no secret that I've got a lot of horses in my barn, and I've only got a couple that's like, or one like Whitmore. That's because he's naturally gifted and has that kind of heart to do what he does. But whenever we use terms like the talking heads do, another high percentage trainer, that doesn't necessarily mean he's the best horseman or the best caretaker. It means he's the best at spotting his horses to where he has an absolute best opportunity to win. Now, doesn't necessarily mean he's developing a horse or getting the best out of a horse. It just means he placed him in a position to where it's harder for him to get beat. And that's great for gamblers.
Well, it's fine if that's the philosophy of owners. Everybody knows over the years there's been plenty of owners that don't mind doing that and you know that'll claim and drop and basically force feed their horse to out there, and people end up scared to claim the horse back it's an optical illusion. They're churning, and if they can run that horse and win two or three races, coming down the ladder or repeating at the same level, they'll do it until somebody claims them away. And it's an amazing phenomenon, actually. And they end up with a ton of wins. They win owner titles. And in a lot of cases, people say, well, they're losing money. They're not necessarily losing money, because if they get two or three wins with that horse, forcing it, they did okay.
Well, we're going to have horses that we drop. I'll have a guy tell me, hey, this horse isn't what I want. He's not going to be a stakes horse, or he's not going to be an allowance horse. Let's get that horse to a position where he can be the big daddy somebody, to someone else's barn, or he can go to a regional outfit that's going to Iowa or going to Lone Star. He's going to get a shot to be big in someone else's barn. He's not really good enough to go where I want to go. Well, we drop those, and we want them to win on their way out, and wish the next guy the best.
Yeah.
But whenever you go down into the deal, and we are a claiming culture here. There's a lot of good claiming outfits. I'd say four of the top five in the world are here. You go down, and they're claiming a horse for $20,000. It's a 10-way shake. It's the craziest thing you've ever saw.
Oh, yeah, we see it in Saratoga.
It's a 10-way shake. And then knowing that you're going to have to run against that horse his next out for 10, even if he wins.
Yep.
There's no justification in my mind except somebody's wanting to win a race. And the problem with that is it turns horses into commodities. And for me, that's not something that I'm going to sign up for. I understand that you can do whatever you want to, but that's not something that people I choose to own horses for are going to sign up for. And that's going to get me a lot of hate mail from Twitterverse and stuff.
It's not that
you don't want to win. It's just I'm not ever been a fan of getting a bunch of sixth graders to beat up a bunch of kindergartners. I'd rather grab somebody that could, you know, compete against their own kind.
The greatest. You can always count it. I'm still laughing about the one from Ocala. What was that line? That lady's more country than a dead.
That's her horse today. Yeah, Mississippi. And it's funny. She calls it "MI Crooked Letter." That's what she calls it. I guess there's that old "MI Crooked Letter I" deal. She does that. She says, How's MI Crooked Letter doing? And I was like, he's a cool dude.
That was a horse that we really came to like with Cassie, and Gary Barber had Mississippi.
He's a cool dude. He worked the other day as well as he's ever worked for us. So I'm expecting him to run good. I hope this distance suits him. It's an experiment. We don't know for sure what's happening with him yet. It's going to take me a little bit to figure him out, but hopefully he's what we want him to be.
There's class. There's a class about it. And you know, when you have a horse, you know, in a second, you know, down as it's going down the road, a lot of times you can tap into that class and get, you know, get a horse to remember, you know, what they really are. I mean, in some cases they you know, their careers can go a little sideways, and you can recapture that.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I love to try
to
figure out what it is that makes a horse want to run and figure out a way to make him happy and to see if you can do something a little different, and maybe it works.
What's more challenging, getting a horse that, and we're assuming that a horse has talent. That's the base. What's more difficult, getting a horse that has gone kind of sideways mentally and has sort of forgotten about how to win, or, you know, doesn't want to necessarily win or going through the motions, or one that has all the will but has got a couple of physical issues that are holding them back?
We believe in so much therapy that we think that we can help a horse that is, you know, maybe give it a little time. And I've trained for people that are awesome. They'll tell me if I say, hey, I don't like the way this one is, I can't pinpoint it, they go, give it all the time you want. I'm lucky like that. I got those guys. And, you know, I like to bring a horse back off of freshening and then have a brand new horse, something that was as good as he was meant to be. And I love finding the class that's in them, and now they want to do it.
Yeah.
If they feel like they should, they're going to give you everything. And I love giving the time and doing right by them, and they want to do what they're bred to do.
Well, they're natural. You know, we talked earlier with Tony Black, and you know, Tony saying how the people that think that they don't, you know, that, oh, if you're using a crop on a horse, it shows that they really don't love what they're doing. That's not the case. But you bring up, you know, the sort of the corollary, you know, which is that horses, they have a tendency, they have an eagerness to please. They're, you know, once there's, you know, once they're in training and once they've acknowledge, you know, what they're being asked. They're natural pleasers. They, for the most part, I mean, there's horses that are indifferent and some that are, you know, some that are kind of
angry. I think it has to do with us figuring out each horse,
right,
what it is that makes them want to do this.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we school horses in the paddock, I've got some horses that you need to school 10 times before the race, and some act like they've been there their whole life. Today in the fifth race, I'll school a horse for Saturday, and I've had this horse up here probably 20 times. And it's all been about making her join up with me and understand that I know that we're putting you in a position that makes you uncomfortable. There's going to be 20,000, 30,000 people around you, and you don't know what they're doing up there. So my job is to make that horse feel comfortable enough that it'll follow me through the paddock and then go with me back out to the track, which feels more natural. And it's figuring out what each horse needs to be its best. That's the thing that keeps a lot of people, you know, happy about this. It's the puzzle that never quite, you know, there's too many changing variables. There's too many different,
yep,
deals. What works for this one didn't work for that one.
Yep.
You've got some people out here that breeze 3/8 before a race, and then somebody's breezing 3/4. And some of it works sometimes, none of it works all the time. And it's the reason that people love this sport is you try to figure out a way to make something, you know, that wants to do this, but figure out a way to ask them to do it.
And everybody in their own capacity in the sport is doing the same thing. Horse players are doing the same kind of puzzle and figuring out, you know, who they want to use and then how they're going to bet it. Breeders are figuring out, you know, what combination is going to produce the best offspring for me.
Players, you know, and trainers are a lot alike in the fact that not only do they think that they know everything, they think everybody they're competing against knows absolutely nothing. And their way is the absolute right, and no one else has a clue. And that's the arrogance and that makes us get up every day to believe that we're right and what we're going to do works. And luckily, we're dealing with a bunch of people that's not quite as smart as we are. And then whenever we get beat, we're puzzled and we blame the jockey.
We got a convenient excuse.
That's it. It's obvious the rider, the track, something didn't go right because we're too smart to have fouled up.
It always goes right when we get a chance to sit with Ron Moquet. And Ronnie, good luck today and over the weekend. And we could be talking on Monday. At the very least, we'll see you in Louisville in 2 weeks.
Enjoy your time in Arkansas.
Always tremendous. How you feeling? You're good, huh?
Oh, I feel like $1 million.
Excellent. Ron Moquet, the best. So much fun. And whatever the topic, whatever the occasion, it's so great. Thank you, buddy. Ron Moquet. And Steve, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I didn't think we would go that long, but it's irresistible when you got him sitting here.
Well, I hope Whitmore wins. Sark Human hasn't had a winner in 2 days.
I don't know. How can he sleep? Well,
I mean, that's a tough. Mr. Luch says Natoli's going to be awfully tough from the rail there.
It seems like it. But at least there'll be a little. At least there might be some token pressure. It is funny though. $500,000, and you know the old saying is, you know, never skip a race fearing one horse. I don't know if you can extend that to say, you know, never skip a race to fear two horses, but that's a lot of money. I mean, everybody's going to get a check, basically, first through fifth. Those are the paying slots, and it's hard to believe that for $500,000 that there wasn't a sprinter or two that was interested in mixing it up here.
Especially at Oaklawn.
Yeah.
I mean, Oaklawn always has full fields, and when they offer big money, they usually get pretty full fields. So, I mean, to offer that kind of money and only get five horses was kind of usual.
Yeah,
I can understand being afraid of Matoli with all of his speed, and then have to deal with Whitmore as well.
That's true.
But,
late, yeah.
Like you said, anything can happen, and like Ron said, anything can happen in these five horse fields.
Yeah.
Listen. If for some reason Matoli gets left at the gate, you know, there are a lot of horses like him. if they don't get the lead, they're not the same horse. You know, you've seen a lot of horses like that. You know, I go all the way back to a horse like Groovy. Groovy was unbeatable when he got the lead. But the two times he ran in the Breeders' Cup, both times he got outrun by Lucasville in Pine Tree Lane, and he had to come from off the pace, and he failed both times. He came up empty. Some horses that need the lead do not want to come from off the pace. So you never know. If he breaks poorly and doesn't get the lead, you know. And listen, Whitmore is a come from behind horse, but we've seen, you know, he's run well.
He's
ran
versatile.
Well in the Phoenix coming from a length and a half back. So
yep.
For a fast pace. So, you know, he does have tactical speed. So we'll see.
I agree. And then, of course, there's also the whole variable about the weather, and the forecast just does not look promising.
How dismal.
Yeah,
the funny thing is that, the funny thing is I was watching the races last weekend, and, you know, the three big races, you know, all had beautiful weather. And I was watching, I put on TVG, and they shift to Oaklawn. I see Oaklawn is sloppy. And I said, "Oh, good. Get rid of the rain out of the way."
Yeah.
I tell you, it rains. It must rain now, like half the time. It seems like there's so many sloppy tracks at Oaklawn, but it's a shame because this is the definitive prep. I mean, this is going to really determine the favorite. You know, you have two horses in there that could easily emerge as the favorite, and if they fail, you know, it'll probably assure Roadster being the favorite. And you've got all these different angles, and it's just a shame that if we're not going to get to see the best of each horse. You know, some horses we know are going to handle it. You know, obviously Omaha Beach is going to handle it, but we don't know with Improbable. We don't know if it's going to be deep on the rail, or if that's going to be the place to be. You know, I mean, there's just so many different ways of looking at that race.
Well, you know what?
As far as the swap goes.
Since you brought it up, we still have to do the Bluegrass and the Santa Anita Derby. But since you started to talk about it, give us your thoughts about this, the rest of this Arkansas Derby.
Well, again, obviously, Omaha Beach is going to be the horse to beat in the slop, and his race in the slop was extremely impressive when he won at Santa Anita. But you know, that was actually a fast sealed track, so we really don't know. And the question mark is Improbable breaking from the rail with blinkers on. You know, everybody thinks of Improbable as being more a fast horse, but you know, he's never had the lead, and there's an awful lot of speed in here. So Gray Attempt is legitimate speed. You know, Tigran Flu is going to show speed. So you just don't know. I mean, there's, like I said, there's legitimate speed in here, and it's a strange race. The most interesting part of this race, in my opinion, is the fact that Steve Asmussen entered four horses, and then the horse that he's supposed to win with goes the 11th post, which he would have drawn the 8 post if he didn't enter the other three horses. So, I mean, now he's got to break, way out there from the 11. I don't know how the track's going to be out in the middle of the track like that. And, I don't know, with his style of running, long-range tie, he looks like a horse that actually likes to be on the rail. He's been on the rail in several races. He likes to tuck in. So I don't know what it's going to be like rushing to lead. He does have early speed because, you know, if you look at his, in the Rebel Stakes, he had the lead going into the turn. But again, he broke from the inside. Now, if he tries to, go out there and get a good position in the first turn, is it going to take a little too much out of him? We don't know. But I just find it ironic that he enters four horses in this race and winds up, having his main contender stuck out in the 11 post. But, there's a lot of question marks. Galilean has blinkers off. Flavian Pratt worked them last time and actually came back and recommended that they take the blinkers off. He thinks he's going to be a totally different horse with blinkers off. And he loved the way he worked, really loved his last work going 6 furlongs. So we're going to see how much he improves. Yeah. obviously he's one of those horses that needs to finish first or second. And then I give credit to Bill Mott. You know, it's very old school to come back with Country House in 3 weeks and then have 3 weeks to the Derby. That's something that trainers used to do. Now, I know he needs the points. He's probably on the wrong side of the bubble with the amount of points he has, so they're not taking any chances by running him. But the only reason they're running him doing this is because he's such a big, strong, hardy horse who thrives on racing and training. So you got to look at him. If the pace is legitimate, I still think he's a major contender. I thought at the Louisiana Derby, I thought he was a lock after that move he made on the turn, and he swung wide in the quarter pole, and he came up a bit empty. But I don't, you know, why? I don't know, but I think he's going to be dangerous. He's the type of horse that you got to time his move right. I think there's a horse in the race. The one thing I've noticed about the Arkansas Derby is that there's always some weird horse that you don't figure that they don't usually win, but they usually run a good race. They usually wind up, you say, oh, you know, he beat this, he beat some 17-1 shot, he beat some 18-1 shot. There's one horse in the race I find very intriguing, and he's, I mean, not to win, but if you're looking to throw a real, real bomb in the exotics, this was a six shooter. There's something about this horse. I mean, two races back, Paul Holthus put the blinkers on him. He's a good, steady horse. He ran one bad race in the Springboard Mile, and that was a strange race. He got absolutely plowed into it, the eighth pole. At the eighth pole, he was eighth by one. he got bumped hard, and he just fell right out of it. But then he came back, and he won a stake at Delta Downs. He got beat a length and a quarter in the Smarty Jones. He finished a length and a quarter behind Long Range Toddy, and then he came back in the Southwest and again finished a length and a quarter behind Long Range Toddy. So he's right behind him, and this is his third race with blinkers on. Holtz sharpened them up in the gazebo. And he ran a strong third to gray attempt in 109-3. And he's bred for distance. He's got a ton of stamina on the female side, stretching back out. And I don't know. I think he could be a very live, you know, talking around a 25-30-1 shot here, but you never know.
No, I it's nice, too, that Paul Holtus involved his late father, and of course his mom Bonnie will be here undoubtedly, and easy to root for Holtus. Steve,
I always root for Paul Holtus for the amount of time she got me and Mike Martin into the airports to see big time horses. I mean, if people don't know that, you know, Paul used to run Tex Sutton, was in charge of all the flights. And now it's up, by the way, but, you know, this was his last work. He worked over the weekend, and he had a bull at work at Oakland. He worked a minute and two breezing. He was the fastest of 46 works at the distance. So, you know, and coming off the 6-4-long race, and, you know, I think he's sharp. He wants to come from off the pace. Again, I don't think he's going to win, but I find him a very interesting horse. He's been in the money 7 out of his 10 starts. You know, and two of those were fourths, and the other one was the race I was talking about, where he got bumped badly in the Springboard. So we'll see. Interesting, but of course I got to stick with Omaha Beach. I have him at number one, so he's my main horse. I know he's going to love the slop, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know if he has to win or run a tremendous second, but he's got to run well enough to keep Mike Smith on. And that's you know, when everybody's talking about Roadster, I mean, if Omaha Beach wins this race, Mike Smith's not going off him. I don't care if it's Baffert or not. He's sticking with this horse. So they're going to have to find another rider for Roadster.
Now, there's a few of those kinds of things happening, including Jose Ortiz on Improbable.
Sure. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens there. I mean, I certainly don't see him going off Tacitus, but you never know. But you know, we'll you know, I mean, he's got to stick with who he uses. He's an Eastern rider, and I can't
see
him going off of a Bill Mott horse to ride a West, you know, a Southern California horse.
Very true. That's
so,
part of his.
I think Baffert probably. I mean, he must realize that. But you know, I was surprised he named Jose that far in advance. Just you know, to see what's happening.
Well, Steve,
do you like anybody in here in particular?
I know the top pair. The top pair stand out, and anything else to me would be a surprise.
Funny thing is, Omaha Beach is one of the favorites for the Derby. By the way, as of right now, he's barely in the race. You know,
I know.
So, well, I mean, let's put it this way: if he doesn't finish first or second, he probably wouldn't belong anyway. But one thing, we don't have to worry about USS Michigan because he was fourth today.
Oh, yeah, with the Cardinal. That's right. I'm glad you brought that up.
He finished a very dull fourth. He was down on the inside, had the whole rail to himself, and just. Had nothing in the stretch. Finished
all right.
Fourth, so he's not coming. So
good. All right. So the Euro Road will not produce a starter. Just Master Fencer for the Japanese side of things. So only one of the slots.
I don't know why we need a Japanese horse. It makes it interesting, but it's not going to be interesting to the trainer who's got number 21 horse. That's for sure.
Exactly.
Maybe we can have the Japanese will invite an American horse for the Japanese Derby one year. I don't know.
Well,
but I don't know how to look at it. I would look at it two ways, but I just sometimes have to ask, do we need a Japanese horse in the Kentucky Derby? I mean, it's our Derby. You're trying to get as many of our horses who struggle all year on the Derby trail to get in the field. I mean, they're shuffling around. You got to get the points. And if you're number 21, and you look at it like Bourbon War. Bourbon War right now is 21.
Yep.
If he gets left out, I mean, he deserves to be in the Derby.
That's a very fair point.
Last start, he had no shot with that pace, and I thought he made a big move on the turn. If he gets left out, do you really want a horse like that left out of the Kentucky Derby? Is it fair to the owners and the trainer to put a Japanese horse in who didn't even win his last start?
I know. It's a fair question. I mean, just for the just to get Japan only imports 10 races a year.
Obviously it's gonna be big betting in there. That's their priority. I mean, to get the Japanese money involved with the windows. Yeah, it's fine. You know, they're gonna bet a lot of money on their horse, and obviously we know how enthusiastic the Japanese are. But let's look at the Kentucky Derby for what it is. It's our Derby, and everybody. I mean, owners get into the game,
right,
with the hope and the dream of running in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
and you know, let's say you've got a horse, and this is basically your only shot. And if you have a horse like Bourbon War, and I just mentioned him because, right now he'd be the horse left out. But I mentioned him, but, here's a horse that's proven himself, and they struggle hard trying to get into the Kentucky Derby, and you get left out and to give way to a Japanese horse.
I know. Steve, we got about 10 minutes. Let's get back to the recapping side and also any Lexington thought you might have. But Bluegrass thoughts and Santa Anita Derby thoughts.
Well, the Bluegrass, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know your thought. Obviously, Vekoma is a very unusual horse. I mean, if you look at the NTRA poll, and actually if you want to combine the Horse Racing Nation poll as well, there are 9 horses that have gotten first place votes. And Vekoma, who won the Bluegrass Stakes by almost 4 lengths, is not among the 9 horses. I mean, this horse is getting no respect in the polls at all. And I have to wonder if it's because of that goofy stride of his. Because, I mean, I'm watching the race, you know, watching the race with Joan, and she going, oh, my God. You know, it looks like the horse is going to fall on his face. I don't know how to look at that horse because his stride is so ugly, and he cocks his head, and he drifts. You know, it's just a mess, but he's a good horse. His numbers are excellent. He's certainly one of the fastest 3-year-olds. I don't know what to make of him. He's just so ugly to watch when he runs. But I guess if you have him and he's in front by four lengths coming down the stretch, he's not so ugly. But you know, I mean, you have to be impressed with him, ignoring his action. Eventually, it's going to catch up to him. When you paddle that badly, you just can't. And I don't know if it's going to affect him going a mile and a quarter. You know, it's not a normal stride, so you just don't know how and when it will affect him. Win. You know, I've always been a huge fan of his, and so much so that I went out on a huge limb and put him second, even though in the NTRA poll, you know where he is in the NTRA poll? 16th. I mean, I don't know. That I don't get at all. I mean, I can see, but if you want to put him 9th, 10th, 11th, or somewhere in there, but 16th? I mean, I thought, all things considered, it was a speed-favoring track. Every single dirt race was won, except for one, every single dirt race was won by a horse on the lead or like a half a length off the lead. And the other race was won by a horse 2 lengths off the lead. He comes from 13th and winds up in a 7 and 8 pass, turning for home, and flying in the stretch. You know, and that final burst is what got him in the Derby. So he's in the Derby. He's got the pedigree. He's, you know, especially on his female family. He's got a lot of things going for him. I still think he's a beautiful moving horse. Something always happens to him at the start. Either he gets bumped or something happens to him. It's not even the way he wants to run. He doesn't want to come from 13th. His horse has got natural speed. He's got sprinter speed. He showed it already. So I mean, I was happy putting him second until I saw the Thoroughgraph numbers, and then I was kind of disappointed. So you know, I'm kind of torn. As far as that, I was expecting a better number, but you know, he ran a huge number in the Pasco, which everybody would assume, you know, by far his fastest number, very fast number, and then he regressed in his first start around 2 turns, which is okay. I mean, he regressed, and I was expecting a big move forward here, but he ran basically the same number he ran in the Tampa Bay Derby, and it's not really competitive with the top numbers. So I don't know what to make of him now. I don't want to base my opinion strictly on a speed figure. You know, when there's so many things about the horse that I do like, so I'm torn. I don't know.
He's going to be.
I know you're probably rooting for him. But
well, sure I am.
I don't know what you make of it.
Well, no. The logical conclusion when you see a horse that closes, and
steadied,
I don't want to call.
But don't forget how he steadied. He would have been.
I know. But the numbers do figure into this, and when you see a horse that is regressing in figures. With the distances stretching out, the conclusion, you add it all up, he's a closing sprinter, and he's going to be best at 7/8 to a mile, 1 turning, and that's just, you know, that's just what it is, and honestly,
no, Bob, so you look at you're looking at it, you know, logically and realistically.
Sure,
I know you have a rooting interest in the horse, and I do too, in a way, not as strongly as you in that respect. But I like the horse. But like you said, you know, when they regress going from a sprint to a distance race, I can accept it once. But when they don't improve off of it, it's like Heikel. I mean, Heikel, you know, ran a one and three quarters in the Gotham, and he ran a 3 and a quarter here. So he did regress going 2 turns, even though he ran a good race. He obviously showed he's not as good. Win-win-win now has done it twice. And, you know, getting a four in this race when horses are now, you know, starting to get close to one and zeros.
Right.
If you're a proponent of the Thoroughgraph, you know, you have to be concerned. And I right now I'm looking at him. I said, I don't know if I can really keep him that high up again running back-to-back fours. I mean, if I had seen it, a one and three quarters or something. But, you know, when I saw Vekoma ran a two, and Vekoma actually paired up his number. And, you know, I thought maybe he might run faster. But I saw him run a two, and, he, you know, the winner runs a two, and then win runs a four. I said, I don't know, can he improve off of that? There's no reason for him to all of a sudden improve. So I have to, I got to look at him a little bit differently now, as reluctantly as I...
There's even a bigger issue with these horses, which is it doesn't appear where we're headed that there's going to be any pace for the off the pace horses to attack. Every indication is that we're going to have another Derby pace that is just going to be moderate, and so
it's happened since we've gone to the point.
Of course. Of course.
Eliminated all the speed horses in there. You know, and I mean, it's good to have the speed horses in there. I want the speed horses in there. Now every horse is running right on or, you know, right.
Exactly. They've
the
all got the same style. Exactly.
Yeah, look at, you know, Justify runs the fastest pace in the history of the Derby and still wins because you want a contentious pace. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter so much. You know, they're running on sloppy steel tracks, it seems like, every year in the Derby now. So you get always dreaming. And Justify runs almost the exact. They ran the exact same race.
Yeah. No, that's why Baffert is. And let's quickly. You've only got 3 minutes. Quickly cap the Santa Anita Derby, and this is why Baffert is alerting people to the real potential of Maximum Security, and why Baffert's came inches away from calling him the horse to beat.
Well, I'm starting to look that way. I mean, I'm definitely looking at moving him up. But you know, I'm still not quite sold on Roadster. He's been running in 5 and 6 horse fields. I was very impressed with his race. Don't get me wrong, but again, if you want to start looking at Thoroughgraph numbers, actually, Game Winner had a faster number. Game Winner ran a quarter, a 0-1, as opposed to Taxa ran. Roadster, who ran a 2 1/4. I mean, it's a big difference. 2 whole points, for running that much faster than the horse that beat him. So, I mean, Game Winner, according to Thoroughgraph, ran a much, much better race than Roadster. I just don't know if Roadster has got enough foundation or bottom or toughness. You know, he's not a big horse. If you look at him, he's a very quick striding horse. You know, he's not like a Belmont type of horse. Even though Baffert thinks he's going to love a mile and a half, he's got a very quick stride to him. I think that's what allowed him to get into the race as quickly as he did. But, you know, you got to remember, Game Winner was coming back in 3 weeks off a hard race. And I don't know why Rosario kept him four that wide going into the first turn. I don't understand the ride. He could have easily tucked him in, but he did. So maybe overconfident. But I figured he was going to get a bigger number. But I didn't think it was going to be that big a difference from a quarter to a 2 1/4. So I got to think a lot more of Game Winner than I do Roadster. Although I do love the fact that Roadster, his female family, by the way, Ned Evans, by the way, Brett, his first four dams.
Well, we talked yesterday with Sid. If you should listen to Sid from yesterday, we talked about that, and we had a lot of fun actually going over Roadster's page.
Yeah, well, I think I had a long talk with Chris Baker.
Sure.
So I mean, I'm going to store that all thing. He went through every one of his dams, and what she was like. We discussed going back. He actually goes back five generations if you consider the fact that he owned the fifth.
He bought that fifth dam. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was I find that kind of interesting. But I don't know. I'm not quite sold on him. He can win the Derby. Sure, he can win. Anybody can win the Derby. But if I'm looking to, but he's the favorite now. He's the favorite in the future wager. He's a favorite. He's on top in all the polls. And I always look to beat those kind of horses. I'm not gonna bet a horse that's gonna be 3-1 or 7-2 or so in the Derby or whatever.
No, I'd go north the way things are headed. 9-2, 5-1 feels more likely. Especially if there's nothing decisive on this racetrack Saturday. If there isn't something eye popping, people are gonna. There's gonna be 7-8 horses considered as favorites.
Yeah.
On paper,
yeah,
so
I'm starting to look at Game Winner a lot more now. It's seeing his number. If you look at his third graph progression, I mean, I'm just going to read you his number here: 4.5, 4.5, 2.25, 2.5, 1.25. That's a heck of a strong progression. And he looks like he's ready for a huge effort.
I agree, and it does seem like Baffert has been sort of spoon-feeding him and has really got him designed to peak on Derby Day. I agree.
And if you look the way he was coming back at the end, you know what he reminds me? Baffert compared him to a certain horse to me, and he actually ran his final prep very similar. Compared him to Silver Charm. Look at Silver Charm standing at the Derby. When Freehouse had him beat, Silver Charm came back at him. And, you got to remember, Game Winner was busy trying to fight off Instagram, trying to pass him.
Yeah, no, he worked. He worked at it. He worked at it.
So he was fighting him, and the other horses went by him. When he saw him, he came back at him.
Steve, we got to pull up coming up on noon, and we'll have our field. We'll have our 20, our 19 domestic, and one cup of sake, and we'll start making our decisions.
That's well put.
And talking about it next week. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Steve Haskin, everybody, as we head out. And nice afternoon shaping up here at Oaklawn. If you're going to tie on here, Keeneland, I put up the late pick 4 at the website. And back tomorrow with the big weekend preview. Andy Serling will be here. Andy's coming in this afternoon. And we'll talk to you in the morning. I'm sure Case will do what he can to get the archive up. I want to thank Ron Moquette for stopping by. That was a really fun visit. It's always fun with Moquette. And, of course, Tony and Dick Powell and Steve. And we'll thank Jolan for another great job on the board. And we'll talk to you in the morning.
Stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve.